Phil tells me I'm not allowed to hide. I disagree. Hello, by the way.
Hello.
Excuse me a sec. It's a little bit high.
A bit lower than I, I think.
Yeah, I'm a midget, remember? Right. Hello.
Hello.
This is unusual for me, so please bear with me, because I don't really know what I'm doing. Okay, we're talking a bit about worship today. What is worship? And however we go from there, why do we do it? How do we do it? What happens? Etc. We'll try not to make it a lecture. So I'm going to start off with a verse, as we're Christians. It's probably a good idea. It's from Romans chapter 12. It's verse 1 and 2. And it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters..." That's you. "I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you." Not you, but you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. "Let them be a holy and living sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you, and you, and you, and you, into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, and you, and you, and you, and you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." I'm not doing that to be annoying. I'm doing that to highlight the fact that this is not just talking about a general you. I mean, it is, but this also is relevant to you individually, to me, to Phil, to everyone that you see individually up here as part of the band. Now, we're talking about worship. What is worship? Worship is not something that begins when you walk through that door on a Sunday. Worship is not something that begins when the band start playing. Worship is not something that begins when the preacher gets up. It is all of those things. Our lives need to be worship. Singing together in church is what we're kind of talking about today, focusing on, because that is enriching to us. When we do that together and we all engage in that together, it can refresh us. We can walk out of here feeling like a different person. So that's why we're talking about it, because we want to make the best of that opportunity on a day to, on a week to week basis on Sunday. It's a small part, this singing together, this is a small part of how we can worship God. And it's essential to keep us growing together as a community. You imagine if you're, well, whatever relationship you have, whether that's with a family member, with a friend, with a partner of any sort, whether that's you've just got together, you're engaged, you're married, whatever, all comes under the same heading for me. You can't have a successful relationship with that person without showing some sort of appreciation. And if you've got a group of friends, again, you can't grow as a group of friends. You can't have an effective group friendship without all showing appreciation for each other. Now, we need to show appreciation for God. Singing together and about God, to God, helps us to remind ourselves and each other of what it is we've got to be thankful for. I'm going to say more about that later. I don't want to mix up my notes too much. So, what is worship? As well as the things that I've just mentioned, there was a tribe of Israel called the Levites who were, funnily enough, descended from Levi. And their job in Israel was to provide the musical accompaniment in the temple while the sacrifices and offerings were being made. Now, if that ain't leading worship, I don't know what is. But that was their job within Israel. Each tribe of Israel got given a portion of land out of God's promised land. the Levites didn't. The Levites got nothing. And the rest of Israel was supposed to take care of the Levites. They were supposed to provide for them, if you like, in that way. I don't know much about it. If you want to know more, see Trevor. Because Trevor knows stuff like this. I know surface bits. So they had no land for themselves. That was their service to their country. So if they were given the sole responsibility for providing that and serving their country in that way, how much does that tell us how important worship and music is to God? This is not just some random bunch of songs that we pick every week because they sound nice and we like how they play. And this is more than that. So sung worship, it's not about how well the band is playing. It's not about how much you like the songs that have been picked. It's not about how well you can sing, how well or badly the same person next to you is singing. It's not generally just about singing songs, even though that's a part of it. Sung worship is about giving God the opportunity to meet with us, even though we're dead busy. We've got to take time out of our busy schedules, our busy lives, and make time with God a priority for us. Just like you would make time with your family, with your friends, with your husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, partner, whatever. Just like you would make time with them to enrich your relationships, we have got to make time with God. And we've got to do some of that as a community. Because God is not just for us individually. God wants to use us together. Sung worship is about reminding ourselves and each other about who God is and what he's done for us. It's about focusing our thoughts on God and his goodness. It's about our communication with God. It's about us expressing our gratitude and our love for him, because it's not a religion really, is it? This, I mean, people turn it into a religion, but this is not a religion. It's a relationship, and you've got to work at it. Absolutely, 100% work at it. So do we need a band to worship? Not really. I've heard of people who ban the band because people don't know how to worship. And then they let them come back when people have learnt. Sounds like a bit of a scary kind of thing to do. But it works, from what I've heard, as long as people are up for it. One thing that I do want to stress is you don't just automatically know how to worship. I've had people come to me and say, I really appreciate the way that you lead worship. That's great. That didn't just come to me one day. I've had times where I've really, really struggled to worship God, and I've had to work at it. It doesn't just happen. You've got to learn how to worship if you don't already know. And it's got to be your expression of your faith, of your hope, and of your love. So my last point on this is thinking back to the Levites and the fact that they had music in the temple and that was God's command to them. God actually invented the worship in the church, not us. We didn't think one day, it's a good idea actually, it'd be quite nice to have some songs. No, God decided, I want you to do it. So, sung worship in church is never ever about us. It's always, always got to be about God.
Hello. She's brilliant, Mrs. Adjude. Thanks everyone for gathering to Middle. It was fantastic. It's great to see so many kind of focused and listening. It's great. We're not used to doing this, so apologise. We're both a bit nervous, so if we start talking rubbish like I have already, that's what happens. We're kind of working through kind of a few questions that we thought might be relevant. So, like, why do we worship? And then we thought, why do we worship is our next question. I've just talked nonsense again. There you go. So the reason, I reckon, one of the reasons we need to worship is that God loves worship. There's a verse in John 4:23. And it says, but the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way. So God is looking for us to come and worship him. You know, worship him in spirit and truth. Now, that's a bit of a weird thing to say, but it's almost like it's not just an act of singing. It's about what we do all the time. It's about how our heart is towards God. So it's worshiping in kind of lots of different ways. And as Jude said, it's not just about turning up on a Sunday and singing the right songs. Yeah, it's not just about that. It's about our meeting with God and showing him appreciation. I've also put on here, God meets us in worship. In Matthew 18:20, it says, where two or three are gathered as my followers, I am there among them. Or, in other versions, it says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. So when we gather together, two or three, because of Jesus, then God's with us. You know, if God walked through this door now, you know, in his massive beard and huge sandals, you know, because that's what it looks like, right? You couldn't just carry on with your business. You wouldn't just carry on having a conversation. You'd stop. You'd fall over. You'd do everything you can to please this God that came in. And yet God is with us today. And we sometimes don't do that. But yeah, God meets with us in worship. Another reason I think why we worship is that I know a lot of times for me, and I know talking to Jude, I think she's the same, that our mood can sometimes change in worship. You know, we can turn up feeling grotty, and yet through worshipping, through focus on something other than ourselves, our mood changes. And I was thinking, I was sat in a cupboard, because I do at school. I'm a teacher, so I go and hide in a cupboard on Monday morning and mark, because it's a quiet spot, and I get disturbed. And it was a rainy morning, and I'd cycled in and got soaked, and I was feeling miserable, with a pile of marking to do and planning I hadn't done. And I was just thinking, it's like, God, I don't know. I need to be happy. I need to smile more. And then in my headphones, because I was listening to some music, a song by Wren Collective came on, which is The Joy of the Lord. I was like, well, if that's not a message straight away, that's exactly the point. And it says in that song about, if through the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. And it's just about, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not me that's my strength. It's not my confidence or anything else. It's the joy of the Lord that came through my salvation. And that's where I get my strength from. So why do we worship? Because God loves worship, because God meets us, and because it changes us as well. Jude?
We've got a bit of entertainment for you. I'll let Daz play that for you.
What are you talking about?
Tell me what's going on.
What should I do?
What's this Joker doing now?
Get your guidance, son. Please, send me a sign.
Okay. All right, I'll try your way. All right?
Lord, what's this Joker doing now?
I need your help.
I'm desperate. I need your help, Lord.
Okay.
Please.
All right. I'll try your way.
Reach into my life.
All right.
Lord, what the hell? I need a miracle. I need
Please. Reach into my life.
What the hell?
Oh, Hello,
5550123. Denied that promotion at work? Is life unfair? Is there someone less talented than you reaping all the benefits? Is your name Bruce? Then do we have a job for you? We're located at 77256 23rd Street. So come on down, or we'll just keep beeping you.
How often do we turn up at church feeling like that? Bit hard done to, it's been a bad week, a bit miserable, like life is just against us. We can so easily focus on that, on how difficult it is or how boring it is, how we're not getting what we want. Life is just not fair. Church on a Sunday is an opportunity to come to God honestly, about honestly feeling how you feel and just saying to God, this is me today. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but, you know, I can't sort it. You're big enough, you can sort it, so give us a hand, you know, that'd be nice. It's also an opportunity to come and get encouraged by the people around us. Sung worship can have a really powerful part to play in that. It can help to really refocus your mind, to help you not to dwell on issues for too long. Because when you dwell on issues, you become bitter, you become angry. You can drown out God's voice by doing that. And that is when you most need to hear God's voice. So it's important to not drown him out. I had a point then, and I forgot it. Anyway, you see Bruce. Bruce is driving along the road. He's saying, God, I am desperate to hear from you. I just want you to show me what I need to do. Direct me. And then he gets all these signs that God is trying to speak to him, and he's like, no, God, I really, really need to hear from you. Oh, what's going on here? What's going on here? But sometimes, do you not think that the things that seem like obstacles in our lives could be maybe God saying, go a different way. Just slow down a bit. Just hang on. Pull over for a sec. Let me chat to you. We need to let God be able to get through to us. Have you got so much going on that God can't get through to you? I know that life is dead busy, and I'm finding that more and more as I get older, and especially since Sam's come along. Life is so busy, and it's so easy to get wrapped up in everything and make it so that God just can't get through to you. We need to make time where our focus is God, not just everything else that goes on. We need time away from everything where we just kind of go, right, that can all wait. This is important. How serious are we about wanting to hear from God? Because if we ask him to speak to us, he will. We don't need to ask more than once. He wants to talk to you, believe it or not. So if you ask, he's going, yeah, all right then, listen up. So listen, we need to stop. This is one way of stopping. Singing songs to God on a Sunday is one way of stopping. We can have a look at the words that are being sung. If we stop and look at them instead of just singing them because we know them off by heart, this is something I get trapped in quite easily because I'm a lyrics girl, so I can memorise stuff really easy. But sometimes I have to make myself stop and read what is being sung because sometimes that really, really hits me. Really hits me. It can really prepare us for what God wants to say to us. Sometimes I've turned up at church and some of the songs that we've sung have ended up being exactly what I need to hear right at that time. That is not a coincidence. It can help us to listen to God. Sometimes if you come to church and you're just feeling absolutely shocking, and I don't mean physically, just generally, sometimes just sit there and enjoy the fact that God is there Enjoy the fact that you can sit at his feet. You don't have to sing the words to be able to worship God. Listening can be a worship to God. I'm not excusing you from singing every week, by the way. If you all sit there dead quiet next week, I'll be suspicious. But no, I remember the one evening at Soul Survivor in the main meeting, the singing had just started. We're about halfway through the first song. And all of a sudden, I just couldn't sing anymore. There was tears streaming down my face for no reason. Absolutely no reason. I just really, really felt like God was there really powerfully at that moment. And I'd been really stressed in the run-up to it. My job was such hard work at that point. There was things going on at home that were annoying me. Next door's dog would not shut up. And it was really stressing me out. All these little things that on their own are little things, and they are really little things, had all just built up. And because my focus was not on God properly, my focus was on, oh, these things are annoying me so much. I'd got myself up, worked up into this frenzy. Anyway, coming into this meeting, halfway through the first song, it's like I've come home. And that's why the tears are coming. It's coming because I'm like, finally, I can just chill out. I can catch a breath, you know? This is where I need to be right now. I need God to refresh me. And that's exactly what he did. And he spoke to me really, really clearly that week as well while I was there. But if that first night had not happened, if I'd not felt like I came home, if I'd not been open to that, would I have still heard what he had to say to me that week? Would he have been able to get through to me? So do you want to hear God? Do you ask him to speak to you, but you feel like he doesn't say anything? You feel like you can't hear him? Try singing at home to him, or in the car, or wherever it is that you feel comfortable, like somewhere where you can feel like you've got your space with God. I'm not asking you to do it if someone's in the next room making tea or something and you're like, I don't want them to hear me. But try it without doing other stuff at the same time, without trying to plan your holiday or something, you know. Ask him to make you ready to hear what he wants to say to you. And when you've asked, make sure that you make the time to stop, to listen, so that he can tell you what he wants you to hear. Don't fill all your time up. Time is precious. So, by the way, this section is called What Happens When We Worship. I forgot to tell you that. Do our situations change because we sing songs in church? Hands up, yes. Hands up, no. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Like I said before, it can refocus us. You come to church thinking about rubbish. You sing songs that remind you how big God is. Our God is a great big God. He's higher than a skyscraper. He's deeper than a submarine. How wonderful it is to be a part of God's amazing plan. If that doesn't refocus you, I have no idea what will. No idea. Your perspective can be really changed by being reminded of who God is. Because at the end of the day, if he's massive and he's deeper than the deepest sea and he's on your side, like the Bible says, if God is for us, then who on earth can be against us? Who can do something to you that actually matters? In the grand scheme, I'm not saying. In the grand scheme of heaven and earth, God can sort it. He's bigger than everything. He's in control of all situations. And he's bigger than all of our problems. He doesn't want to be a part of your life. And he wants to be in every single part of it. And he wants you to let him. He won't just muscle his way in and say, right, I'm coming and I'm sorting. Doesn't do it. He wants you to invite him. He wants you to stop and make the time for him. There's a saying that I heard a long time ago that says, you become like the people that you spend time with. If you spend time with God, you'll end up being more like him. Guarantee it. Absolutely guarantee it. So Phil's touched on this point already. Does God like it when we sing to him? Yes. That's the short answer. Although, that doesn't mean we only have to sing to him to make him pleased with us. Going back to that first verse I read to you, offer yourselves as living sacrifices. Singing is not the only way to worship. You've got to worship with the rest of your life. If you don't do that, your worship on a Sunday will be far, far less powerful in connecting you with him. There's a verse in 1 Samuel, it says, chapter 15, verse 22, says, "What is more pleasing to the Lord? Your burnt offerings and sacrifices." I want to change that to your praying, your reading the Bible, your doing good deeds. What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? If you're doing all these charitable works or whatever, but you're not doing what God wants you to do, not doing what he's asking to do, then it's a difficult one, isn't it? You need to be able to hear God's voice. So living a way that is obedient to him, and your sung worship will connect you with him in a powerful way. But if our only expression of gratitude for him is when we sing to him on a Sunday, and the rest of our week has the opposite attitude, or it excludes him, don't expect fireworks on Sunday. Don't expect to get much from church, if that's how you live. There's a song by Tim Hughes that I just want to read to you. I'm not going to say much about it. I just want you to think about the words. "God in my living, there in my breathing. God in my waking, God in my sleeping. God in my resting, there in my working. God in my thinking, God in my speaking, be my everything. God in my hoping, there in my dreaming. God in my watching, God in my waiting. God in my laughing, there in my weeping. God in my hurting, God in my healing, be my everything. Christ in me, Christ in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. You are everything."
Okay, so how should we worship them? There's a verse in Psalm 100, verse 4 to 5. It says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. And his faithfulness continues to each generation." And I was tempted to sing the song, but I wasn't going to. And I've got a picture. If you just flip to the next one, Daz. There's two kind of pictures of like the old style kind of temple. The one on the left is a tabernacle in the desert, and the other one is more like a temple. And they're both modelled on the same way, as I'm sure Trevor can explain to you in extensive detail in future. But the idea was, in Old Testament times, that you had to go into the courts. So originally you went into the outside bit. Okay, so let's say that's out there. So we'd go into the outside bit. And then the only people that could come into this bit, where God was, say, Eric, and if possible, Trevor, and that's it. Yeah, everyone else had to kind of say, "Eric, will you go and bring this? Or is this good enough?" Or whatever. And only those people were allowed to go and speak to God, and we weren't allowed to do that. And the sacrifice of Jesus changed all that. But I think the pattern still applies. It's like we should be going into God's courts. We should be going in praise, in thankfulness. We shouldn't be going in miserable. And I'm sure those of us who know about prayer, we don't just go in to prayer and offload. You know, if I came home from work and offloaded on Kayla and said, "This was rubbish, this was rubbish, this was rubbish," she'd get fed up. But if I say, "How are you today? Have you had a nice day? Okay, this is bothering me," that's a bit better. And that's how we should pray. We should go in and say, "God, you're amazing, you're fantastic. Okay, this is bothering me." Because that's the right way to do it. And that's how we should worship as well. In terms of the act of worship, I've got another verse which is in... I've lost it now. Where's it gone? It's here somewhere. Go on to the next one, Daz. It's on there. It was here originally. There you go. Okay, so Luke 7. There we go. Okay, so Luke 7. It's a little bit of a long one, but it's a story of a lady, and you've probably heard this story before, who came to worship at Jesus' feet. So Jesus was there in person, and Jesus was at someone's house, and a lady came in, and we can find out a little bit about her now. And it says, "One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city," sounds like you'd probably know about her, "heard that he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this was touching him. She's a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thought, Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other. But neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, cancelling the debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answers, I suppose the one who he cancelled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet. Well, she's washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she's shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little only showed little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. And the men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. What an amazing story. And the kind of bits I want to pick out of that is it was an extravagant act. It was a crazy extravagant act. People say that the perfume was, I don't know, a year's wages or something like that. It was a crazy kind of amount of money that she broke and gave to him. She was imperfect. Yeah, that's a good model, because anyone perfect here? No, I didn't think so. I like the bit she said she had many sins. No, she had sins and there were many. Because it just means that whoever we are, it doesn't matter. You know, we're not, we can't get out of this worship act because it includes us all, however many our sins are, however few we are. She knelt at his feet, okay? Judo, he said before about sitting at, you know, God's feet. It's like the lowest part, isn't it? It's like, I'm not saying I want your head. I just want your feet. It's almost like it doesn't matter how you come. If you think you get into the lowest position, you know, that's sometimes we need to do that. Get to our lowest position and say, God, I'm sorry. And just accept that. It cost her a lot. Now, luckily in this country, it doesn't cost us a lot to come to worship. In some places, it does. Yeah, and I'm sure we know that in other places people are killed for going to church or just being around and having their faith. So maybe we struggle to understand that, but you know, it cost her a lot. You know, sometimes it does cost us a lot to move away from our lifestyle or whatever kind that is and actually worship properly. But the thing that I think is most important is that she left that room different than she came in. She was cleansed, she was forgiven. And her worship, her act of worship changed her. And I think that act of worship is almost more important than just the words that we sing. And again, as Jude mentioned, worship should be our lifestyle. It should be something that we do all the time, not just when we turn up here. This isn't start a worship and then end a worship 6 o'clock, go home and do whatever else you're doing. It's an act that we carry on. And because I'm a teacher, I'm now going to give you homework. Yeah? That's what happens. So I want you to think that when you go home, we should be practicing worshiping. Okay? For us to be better worshippers, we can't just do something once a week. Yeah? In any skill that you're learning, you can't just do it once a week. And I think we can all do something, go home and practice worship. I found that I had dead time when I'm either sat in the car or when I'm cycling to work. Yeah? There's dead time. I couldn't do anything else. So I stuck some worship music in my ear, or I stuck a preach on, or downloaded some of the podcasts and listened to Eric or Trevor in my ear, and they keep popping up occasionally in my playlist. And it's just good to listen to good stuff, yeah? Caleb actually asked someone at one point and said, well, I can't remember it. It was something like, I can't remember the Bible when I read it. It's just, my mind's like a sieve. And the person responded and said, well, at least you're washing your sieve with clean water. Yeah? I like that. It was a lovely, lovely thing. So yeah, so go and listen to worship songs. Find a song that you like. I've got playlists for when I'm feeling a bit down. I just put a playlist on, and it just lifts my mood. And your playlist, I'm sure, will be very different than mine and different than Jude's. But if you want some recommendations, I'm sure we can give you some. So what I thought we'd kind of finish off today, I'm going to ask Jude to start playing in a second. Go on, you can do it now. We're going to have a little bit of time of worship. We will go over a little bit, if that's okay. Hopefully that's okay. But there's some things that sometimes we don't get worship right, and that's the same for anybody. Some of us come with the wrong attitude, and we do worship wrong. So, if we can have the next one, Daz. So, when I'm in class, and the kids are a bit distracted, the first thing I say to them is empty hands, because we can't focus properly when we've got stuff in our hands, yeah? If we're checking the football scores, or checking that text from whoever, or whatever, it's a distraction. So let's get rid of our phones, yeah? Put stuff out your hands that's a distraction. One of the things that might help as you move forward in worship is to close your eyes. And some of us do that anyway. But if you haven't ever done that before, I'd like to try, yeah? If I'm trying to think about God, it's difficult if I'm looking at somebody else. So try closing your eyes and focus on why we're here. And it's about giving yourself that space where actually nobody else matters anymore. If you've never lifted your hands, that's another step. You know, Christians lift their hands when we worship, and it's just an act of surrender. It's like, God, I give you everything, yeah? It's like, this is for you. And that's why people lift their hands. So if you want to try that today, that'd be awesome. I suppose I put these in kind of steps. So maybe, you maybe try this in your own room or something, but people kneel in worship. Again, it's an act of, this isn't about me, this is about you. And I put, most of all, most importantly, we need to listen. Because God is trying to speak to us in all the things that come up, in the nonsense that I spout at the start, or the songs that we sing, and the words that are coming up, or the words of the preacher, or anything else, God is trying to speak to us. So listen. So I'd like us to try and practice. We're going to sing a song that we remember from '90s, was it? And it was came out of the story that Jude was saying, that someone, the church wasn't worshipping right, so they stripped it all away. They stripped the worship band away. And until they kind of got the heart of worship, they didn't bring the band back. So this is a song that we sang a lot of youth. And if you don't know it, it's fine. Just sit and listen, or stand and listen. If you want to join in, please do. But it's just called The Heart of Worship. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's not about the things I've made it. It's about what we're going to make it now. Okay, and it's about worshipping you. So, if you're comfortable and you want to stand, if you can close your eyes, that'd be fantastic. You can just listen. And we're going to worship together. So, let's join together and let's practice worshipping. We're going to do a few songs and end up with a party. So, thank you.